who wanted to be able to have one shiur before the Yom Tov. Next week, the shiur I have to give in Brooklyn, different places, for Sesame Tshuva. And I wanted, even though we could and we should continue learning Noam Eloh Melech and talking about the Rebbe Melech and telling stories about the Rebbe Melech for the rest of the year, for the rest of the decades, for the century, there's no end. Ein l'dov esayf mamish, the Rebbe Eloh Melech. There's no end. And it's been like that with all the tzaddikim that we've learned about. We have the schus. But my intention in this shiur that we have Monday nights is certainly not to cover, to even assume that we're doing any kind of a comprehensive study, learning of the Torah of that tzaddik. But I want that over the years we should accumulate a tam, a ti'im and ni'ima of all of the Talmid Baal Shem. And that was my intention many years ago when we started this, to spend time talking about the tzaddik's life and to get familiar with the Torah, to see the sweetness and the depth of that Torah, and then to move and to discuss another one. So we're going to just talk now. We're going to talk a little bit about the last days, the end of the life of the Noam Eloh Melech, and the legacy of the Noam Eloh Melech, which is Ein Sof also, which is infinite. It's living. It's alive. and then after the Yom Tov, we're going to begin working on Rabbi Nachman from Breslov, and that's going to take us. We're going to take us again. It's not comparable. We'll spend at least 2 or 3 years on that. That's just to start a little bit. Just to speak about Rabbi Nachman's life is itself. This is a life's work. So we're going to spend the next few years in Mitzvah Shem, traveling in Rabbi Nachman, and so let's just talk a little bit about the Seif, the end of the Noam Eloh Melech. At the end of the Rebbe Eloh Melech's life, I mean, those who were here last year, obviously those who were not here at the last man before the summer, it's something that we spent a great deal of time on over the year. The end of his life, the Noam Eloh Melech reached very, very great madrigas to such an extent that for the most part he became isolated from the Hamon Am, from the people. It wasn't possible anymore for him to really communicate with the people. He was on such a madrega. We have a Mesorah from an individual whom many consider to be his most loyal and faithful disciple, Rav Kolonimus Kalman, not the Eish Kodesh, but actually the ancestor of the Eish Kodesh, the author of the famous Sefer, the Mo'or V'Shemesh. The Mo'or V'Shemesh said that a short time before the Rabbi Eli Melech passed away, he commanded him, Tachin Atzmecha V'Chazakta V'Hayisa L'Ish. Prepare yourself, be strong, and it's a pasuk, "Mechazakta v'yisele ish," and to strengthen yourself to be a person, to be a man. And the Mo'or V'Shemesh didn't know what that meant. And some time passed, and during one night, the Rebbe Eloh Melech woke him up, and the Rebbe Eloh Melech took his stick, his walking cane, his cane, and they went. He went together with the Mo'or V'Shemesh to the cemetery, and they came to a certain place. The Noam Melech was searching for a certain place in the cemetery, and they came to the cemetery in Lezhensk, and once again the Rebbe Eloh Melech strengthened the Mo'or V'Shemesh. Then this is what the Mo'or V'Shemesh wrote. This is what happened. This is not only an eyewitness account. He was taken there to see this. The Mo'or V'Shemesh writes the following: V'kasher higia chatzos halayla, and when it reached chatzos, midnight, Niftecha delos b'shamayim, the Rebbe Eloh Melech told him to look in the sky, and it seemed there was a door that was opening in the sky, kenegdeinu, above us, v'yotza eish gedola, and a tremendous fire came from the sky, u'meha eish nispazu nitzaytzeis ve'ayres al kol ha'olam, and from that fire sparks went flying, sparks. All over the world came out from that fire. And in each spark, I want to mention this to you, in each spark, in each fireball that was flying out to all directions of the world, the Mor v'Shemesh saw that there was an awesome looking face. In each one of these sparks, there was a face. A Tzuras Ha'adam. He said, an awesome looking face. At that point, the Mor v'Shemesh wasn't able to look anymore. He was frightened. Mehamara ha'noira ha'zef, this awesome sight. And he was afraid, and he stood there. And then he said that it closed, the whole thing closed, this doorway leading to Shemayim closed. And the Rebbe Elimelech told him, again, this is what the Mor v'Shemesh recorded. Ka'es anu yodim mahu ha'Baal Shem Tov. Now we know who the Baal Shem Tov was, how he looked, what he looked like. That face in each of the sparks was the face of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. And he says, Zesh shanim, shanim evakesh liros es ha'Baal Shem Tov bolam hazeh. For many years, the Rebbe Elimelech says that for many years I've been waiting to be able to see the Baal Shem Tov in this world. To see the Baal Shem Tov. Now the Baal Shem Tov, of course, was dead for a long time. For many years I've been waiting to see the Baal Shem Tov in this world. V'dochlosi. And I was rejected. I wasn't allowed. Ad shehiftichuni shekodem ptirosi erenu be'enai. I was promised from Shemayim. I was promised that before my death I would be zeichet to see the Baal Shem Tov with my eyes. V'achshav niskaima ha'avtocha. And now the promise has been kept. That great fire that we saw is the soul of the Baal Shem Tov itself. The Elu HaNitzotzes and those sparks, Hispashtu B'chol HaOlam, that was spreading, that were mispashtu, that was spreading to the all corners of the earth. Mikoach HaTorah V'Chassidus. That's from the power and the energy of Torah and Chassidus that's going to spread throughout the world. Yisodos Olam, the foundations of the earth. This is what the Rebbe Elimelech said on that night to the Mor v'Shemesh when he saw the vision of the Baal Shem Tov's face contained. There was a huge fire and the image of the Baal Shem Tov, and then in all the sparks, tiny images of the Baal Shem Tov that was spreading through the entire world. And of course now it became clear to the Mor v'Shemesh that it wasn't much longer that the Norm Elimelech would remain in the world. The Rebbe Elimelech, of course, was a very precious spark from that burning, fiery neshama of the Baal Shem Tov. What's said is that there really is no such thing as Lezhenske Chassidus. There's now a person, I don't know him, I never met him, or he's an Elchid, he's a Tzaddik, he calls himself a Lezhenske Rebbe. I don't know, but there's no Lezhenske Chassidus. If there's something that's called the Lezhenske Rebbe, it's that maybe one of his descendants, you know, opened the Bais Medrash, but there's no Lezhenske Chassidus. And that was not an accident. The Rebbe Elimelech did not give over the leadership. He did not leave a Yerusha of the movement to any of his children. Adarava. What we have is what he told the family was, Bonai lo yihu rabbanim. My sons will not be rabbanim. They were great scholars, but they won't be leaders of communities. Ella yichazu, listen to this wonderful Yerusha he left to his children. Ella yichazu al hafsachim. They're going to be beggars. They're going to have to go to different people's homes to get money. And if they're not worthy, poor people, no one's going to give them any money. That was the Yerusha that he gave. Now, one of his daughters, Mirish, they called her, she herself was a Balas Ruach HaKadosh of the highest order. Ad Kedekach, the famous Rebbes of that generation, there was a generation of great Tzaddikim, the Rebbes used to go to her for brachas, to the Tzaddikas Mirish. So of all the children, she said that she refuses to be makabel such Yerusha, in all due respect to her father. She refuses to accept that kind of Yerusha, that everybody's going to be impoverished and beggars and there's not going to be any Rabbanis. She stood her ground, that she's not makabel the Gezeirah Din. And the Rebbe, her father, told her It says in the son, Imkain, at Ubanayich Tiyu Ashirim. In that case, that you refuse, you and your family, your children, your branch of their family are going to be wealthy. V'rabbonim mimeich yetzeyu. And you're going to have Rabbonim and Tzaddikim come from you. He didn't see that as being a good thing, apparently. He said, all right, you made problems, okay. And the Kachav, and so it was, that from her came out great wealth and great Rabbonim of different cities in Poland. As far as what happened to the sons and what happened to the Hasidim, after the Rebbe was Nifter, many of the Hasidim wanted that his son, Rebbe Lozer Lippe, should be the Mamshich of the Shoshelis of Lezhensk. They wanted Elozer Lippe to continue and to build the Bis Medrash and to maintain the Hasidus, and they were prepared to give good money and to maintain the court of Lezhensk. He ran completely from this. In him, the Yerusha, the Bracha, whatever that was, if his father was McQueen to the fullest extent, he was a penniless person till the end of his life. Mamish, impoverished person. He didn't accept Rabbanus at all, and he was a Kaddish alien at Tzaddik, and a Baruch HaKaddish who ran from the public eye and lived a life of holiness and quiet and in poverty. The second son, now listen to the name, the first one was Rabbi Lozer Lippe. The second was Rabbi Eliezer Lippmann. That itself is a whole story we don't have time to go into. The names are so, Elozer Lippe, Eliezer Lippmann. It's really a different take on the same name, right? So he is the author of a famous Chassidish Sefer called Erech LaTzadik, and that's a very, very important basic Chassidish Sefer, Erech LaTzadik. We have many other Torahs. We have Torahs from his father that are not found in Ayin Melech, and he has his own original Torahs, a very, very deep and original thinker, the Erech LaTzadik. He also refused to take over the Beis Medrash, and he refused anything in the Rabbanus. The only time that he agreed to be a Rebbe was on Purim and on Shushan Purim, the last year of his life. He agreed on Purim and on Purim and Shushan Purim. This way he said, Purim Rebbe, I'll be. And he became on Purim and Shushan Purim. After that, after Shushan Purim, he said that it's time to prepare my kittel, his tachrichen, rather. And he prepared tachrichen. He benched his family and he went to Lezhensk, and the day after he arrived in Lezhensk, he passed away. And he is buried in the oil together with his holy father, with the Noam HaMelech, together with the other son. There was one other son by the name of Rabbi Yaakov. We don't know anything about him except that he too was very poor. And his name comes up a few times in town records, but other than that, he certainly was not a Rav. We know that he was considered to be a holy person that was completely to himself. And there was a daughter, Ethel. Again, we don't know anything except that she had the reputation of being a very holy person. Also, they would seek her brachas. She refused to have anything to do with giving out brachas and so on. And there's very little that's known about her or her family. So the Yerusha was Mekuyim in the children. So there is no Shoshelis, there is no Chassidus Lezhensk, but from that spark that the Rabbi Elimelech received from the Baal Shem Tov, from that spark really all the Chassidus of Poland and Galicia was established. His holy brother, his famous brother, the Rebbe Abzusha, I told this to you before the summer, that after he was Nifta, the Rebbe Abzusha said on his brother, the Pasuk V'Nahar Yotzei Me'Eden, as it says in Bereishis, a river was flowing out from Gan Eden. Lahashkeis Es Hagan. It was flowing from Eden and it was irrigating, it was giving water and life to the Gan, to the garden. U'misham Yipareid. And from there it divided. V'hoi La'arba Roshim. And it became four tributaries. So the Rebbe Abzusha said, Eden Zeha Baal Shem Tov. Eden is the Baal Shem Tov. The river that was flowing from Eden was the Harav HaMagid, the Mizrach HaMagid, Schus Yagen Eleinu, who received, of course, the most profound light from his Rebbe. Vehishkes Hagan, and this river that was flowing from Eden, that would irrigate, that would water the garden. Vehishkes Hagan, who's the gun? The garden, Zahar Rebbe Elimelech. That's my brother Rebbe Elimelech. Shushosim Yimei HaNahar, who drank from the waters of the river of Mezitcha Magid. Umisham Yiparei V'hoyel Abarashim, and it would divide into four rivers, or four separate tributaries. Elohim Arba Talmidah, these are his four greatest disciples. HaChayzef, the Chayzef from Lublin. HaMagid Mekoznitz, Koznitz HaMagid. The Mendel Rimenover, and the Oiv Yisrael, the Abderov of Avim Yeshua from Apt. Rav Yeshua Heschel from Apt. These were the four from whom all the Hasidus of Poland and Galicia was established. One just has to make a cheshem. We're not going to go into that now, even though you all know. And from years ago, we began to speak about the tzaddikim from the Beis Medrash of Peshischa and Kotsk, which is a very different way than the Rebbe Elimelech taught. Still, you must keep in mind that this all goes back to the Chayza from Lublin. The Chayza was the Rebbe, the Yid HaKadosh, and then the Rebbe Abunim from Peshischa and so on, but all of it comes from the Noam Elimelech through the Mezrach Magid. In Russia, of course, those would be the Bat Midrashim in Russia of the Balatanya of Chernobyl, Karl and Stalin, right? It's a separate world. But in Poland, Galicia, from the Rebbe Elimelech came. These are the four. From these four, Chayzer, Koshen, Samagid, Reb Mendel, Rimenov, and Oiv Yisrael, would come all the future tzaddikim, the Talmidim, the disciples of Poland, Galicia, who would establish all the great Bat Midrashim, that whose children and grandchildren exist, of course, Bez Hashem, to this day, and should continue until Mashiach. All of that comes from the Noam Elimelech. So even though there was no official continuation to the world of Luzhensk, there was no Beis Medrash that was maintained in Luzhensk, and no Chassidus of Luzhensk. But as far as the garden that was watered, and what came forth from that Jew, from the Noam Elimelech, how many thousands, hundreds of thousands, more than hundreds of thousands, of Sebrochne, impoverished, desperate Jews were given life through the Noam Elimelech and his disciples. So it's said that that's his Beis Medrash. It wasn't a Beis Medrash with walls. It was a Beis Medrash without walls. It was a Beis Medrash that couldn't be contained in the confines of four walls. It was a Beis Medrash that was like that vision that he had that night that he shared with the Mar of Hashemesh, of sparks that were flying all over the world. As I told you, the last years of his life, he remained pretty much to himself. The last two or three years of his life was hard to approach him. His Ptira, as I'm sure most of you know, was on the 21st day of Adar, in the year Tav Kuf Mem Vav, in the English calendar 1786. Tav Kuf Mem Vav. The Rav of Luzhensk was a great Talmud Chacham, Reb Zev Wolf, the Luzhensky Rav. Of course, he was overshadowed by the presence of the Noam Elimelech, but he himself was a great Rav who went to the Noam Elimelech, even though he wasn't a chassid from his upbringing. But he went to the Noam Elimelech as a disciple. So we have a description from the Luzhensky Rav, from Reb Zev Wolf. He wrote, Bishnas Takum, Tavkuf Memvav, Bishnas Takum, which is, of course, a play on the Pasuk, Bishnas, and he wrote, Bishnas Takum Tirachem Siyam, in the year Tavkuf Memvav Takum, which he said that we're begging Hashem that he should have compassion upon Siyam, upon Yerushalayim, upon the Jewish people. Takum. Kasher Nitlo Hoyt Teferes Tarasenu HaKadoshim. It's in that year that the great beauty and splendor of the Holy Torah was taken from us. The Yedidi, and my personal friend, Ohev Tzomid Libi, the one who I loved, who was attached, who was glued to my heart. HaChosid HaManoach, the great Chosid who has passed away. Vareinu HaRavei Melech, Susi Agenelainu, Nistalig Va'olol Marom. He left this world and he went up to Shemayim. And this is what he says. Listen to these words after. Ve'era, and I saw, Gihagolus Mizgaberus Aleinu, that from the moment that the Rebbe Elimelech left us, Golus became stronger than ever before. The exile became stronger, became more unbearable than ever. Bahatara misma etis. Since he left the world, Torah has become more diminished. It's getting less and less. B'chol yom v'yom ba'avonoseinu harab, because of our many sins each and every day. The Rebbe Elimelech chose exactly the place where he wanted to be buried. And that was in the cemetery of Lezhensk. Some of you have had the schus to be there. That was the place, that's exactly the place where he had the vision that night when he went together in the middle of the night with the Mor of Hashemesh. On that place where they stood, and he had the vision of the Baal Shem Tov, that's where he designated with his stick, and he showed the Mor of Hashemesh that here you ought to bury me. And he went a few times afterwards and told the Chevra Kedisha not to make a mistake, and he put something there that should be a siman, that this is the place where he has to be buried, which of course filled with unbelievable meaning and mystery. That's the place where the fire divided into the sparks, and that's where he wanted to be. That's where he wanted to be buried, and the place that he was buried, the takana, all the tzaddikim made a takana that there has to be an iron fence surrounding, an iron fence divider separating between the people and the Rebbe, because that place, the exact place where he's buried, is Oyim V'Noyrim Ha'od, is great and awesome, and it's fearful for people to walk over there, to go over there. And the Metzeva, the stone was put there. The Metzeva says on it, Toi Nitman, here is hidden, here is buried, Harav HaChosid HaAmiti, the true Chosid, Isha Lekim, man of God, Adonainu Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, our master, our teacher, Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGola, the Rebbe of all the exiles, Ateras Teferis Kadosh Yisrael, the crowning splendor, the Holy One of Israel, Menorah HaTahara, the Holy Menorah, Butzina D'Nahara, Ne'er Yisrael, the Holy Lamp, the Holy Light of Israel, the Candle of Israel, Patisha Chazak, the powerful strong hammer, Kroi Kedusha Shmoi, Umufuar, Marina Harali Malach, Bala Machabe Sefer Kodesh, the author of the Nor Meli Malach, Nifter B'Yom Aleph, Chof Aleph Adar, Shnas Takum Terachim Tzion. That's the Maseva of the Nor Meli Malach. You know that the two graves in Europe where more Jews go to than any other graves, any other of the Tziyunim, are the Nor Meli Malach and the Rebbe of Nachman from Breslov. Thousands of people, Baruch Hashem, now able to go to the place. Even during the time before the war, since the Rebbe Elimelech passed away, it was a place where thousands would gather on his yard site, and it was also a place where the tzaddikim of Poland, all the tzaddikim of Poland, would come on the Rebbe's yard site, on other occasions as well, but particularly on the yard site. One famous tzaddik who was deeply attached to the Tzion was the Tiferes Shleimer. Tiferes Shleimer, of course, was Reb Shleimer from Radomsk. The problem here is that the Tiferes Shleimer was a Kohen. So, you know, that's not so comfortable for a Kohen. A Kohen's not allowed to go to a cemetery, even though you know that there's a very big dispute regarding the question of whether Kivrei Tzaddikim or Metamim. That's not for now, whether the kever of a tzaddik, there are those who hold that the gravesite of a tzaddik does not bring the defilement that a normal grave would bring to a kohen. Nevertheless, the Tiferes Shleimer, even though he was a kohen, he would go to the Tzion, even though he never went to any other grave or any other cemetery, he went to the Tzion. He did not go up to the Tzion. He had a special place. There was a tree that was outside of the cemetery that was facing the Nor Meli Malach's Tzion, and they built there a little shed for the Tiferes Shleimer with a window, and the Tiferes Shleimer would often go there and sit in that seat and look out from his window at the Tzion at the grave of the Nor Meli Malach. He would sometimes spend there weeks davening and learning without leaving, and the Shamas would bring him something to eat. He would stay there for weeks. This was seen as something very odd in the eyes of many of the tzaddikim and many of the Jews of Poland. First of all, to sit by a cemetery for so long, even though, you know, it's become more popular these days, but that was not the normal mahalach in those days, A. B, that the Tfer Shlomo was a kohen, and it's not a comfortable thing to have a kohen sitting right outside the cemetery. And C, the Tfer Shlomo himself had a very large Hasidic court with great responsibilities. So there were many who were upset about the fact that Tfer Shlomo was spending so much time by the tzion of the Nar Melamach. So he wrote, and he said, Tamu alai, I know that there are many who are wondering about my behavior. So he said, Ella, Misha yodea mipnei ma be'aretz Yisrael yesh kivrei nevi'im melachim shayftim tanayim v'amarayim. Those who understand, why is it that in Eretz Yisrael, even though there are graves of prophets, of kings, of judges, of tanayim and amarayim, of Chazal, Val shum tzion ein eisim hilula, but we don't find any real big celebrations or gatherings by any of these graves of prophets and of tanoim and amoraim. Rak al tzion harashbi v'ha'ari, the two graves where we find that there's that the Jews continuously are going to, of course, are in Meron by Reb Shimon by Yochai, and a little distance away in Sfas by the Ari HaKadosh. Those, he said, who understand why this is, that we have all of these graves in Eretz Yisrael of Tanoim, Aroim, Amoraim, Nevi'im, and so on, but nobody goes to them. They only go to the Reb Shimon bar Yochai, to the Ari. He says, Mishe Yodei Ezoz, Gam Yavin Ezoz. Whoever understands that will understand why I stay over here. I spend so much time by the Nor Melamelech. So we don't understand, so it's not an answer for us. But that was his answer. Now, one of the reasons that the gravesite of the Nor Melamelech has become a place of such massive pilgrimage, not only now, but it's always been, it was harder by Rabbi Nachman because of the situation of the communists in Russia, Bechlal, and even before the communists, it was easier in Lezhensk. Lezhensk was a place that the Jews had more access to. Akalpanim, one of the reasons that the tzion of the Nor Melamelech is a place of such large gatherings is because we have a Kabbalah which brought down in the Sefer Eser Tzachtzochus that he had a Kabbalah, the Kubal B'yadi Mikame Talmid Chacham V'Yirei Hashem. I have a Kabbalah from a number of Talmid Chachamim, God-fearing people. Shah Rabbi Elimelech Hispiach, that the Rabbi Elimelech before he died promised, Ki Kol Isha Sheyova Al Kivra, whoever comes to visit his grave, Yivasha B'chol HaYeshuas K'mo B'chaim Chayuso, he will be able to help with all types of Yeshuas the same way that he was able to help when he was alive. The same way he helped hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews with his brachas when he was alive, he said, I will continue if you come to my grave. V'lo yamos v'lo tshuva, and you will not leave this world without doing tshuva, whoever comes to my grave. So, since that time, there's been a constant flow of Jews to the tzion, and we have thousands of stories. What should I tell you? In the Sfarim, stories of Yeshuas and all different things. There was one that I just will mention now to bring this point out. There was a certain Jew that moved from Galicia to Yerushalayim. And he was trying to die and he couldn't. What do I mean by that? He was a very, very old Jew that was having terrible pain. He was suffering terribly. And he couldn't bear living anymore. He wanted to die. And he became a geises. A geises, Lo'aleinu, as you know, was someone those few moments before death. And he became a geises, and he was like that for a day, and then he opened his eyes and he was okay again. And he said he couldn't take it. A few more days, he became a geises again, Nachamol, and the Chevek Kedisha was there. And again, he opens his eyes, you know, and he apologized to the Chevek Kedisha. He couldn't die. So there was a big, it doesn't say who, but there was a big Talmid Chacham that came to visit him, this Alta Yid, this old Galiziani Yid. So the Talmid Chacham went there to visit him, and he said, I don't know what to do, I can't bear being alive anymore, and I keep on slipping away, and then I come back. So can you help me out? So the Talmid Chacham said, well, tell me about your life. And he told him, this Alta Yid told him where he came from, that he was from Galicia. So Talmid Chacham asked him, tell me, were you ever in Lezhensk? So he said, I'm insulted. How could you ask me that I was ever in Lezhensk? Of course I was in Lezhensk. So he says, tell me something. If you were in Lezhensk, were you ever by the tzion of the Rebbe Amelch? He says, that's a bigger insult. Was I ever by the tzion of the Rebbe Amelch? That's why I went to Lezhensk. Every Jew in Poland went to Lezhensk. Of course I was by the tzion of the Rebbe Amelch. So he said, did you daven there? He says, what do you mean? If I was there to be by the tzion, I didn't daven. Of course I davened by his tzion. So after that, the Talmud Chacham was quiet, and the Gilat Sihana was thinking, the Seed was thinking, he was quiet, and he began to think about his trip. He didn't know about any promise to Rebbe Amelch, he didn't know this. But he began to think about his trip to Lezhensk, and when he was by the Tzin, and he began to cry. He had thoughts, he began to cry that to do tshuva. He wanted to die, but he didn't think of doing tshuva. And he began to have powerful feelings to the tshuva, and all of a sudden he said to the Talmud Chacham to bring a matzah. He wants to say vidui, and this old Jew said the entire vidui of the Shchiv Nirah. Look, we should know by 120 that the vidui of a person who's leaving the world, he said the entire vidui, and everybody was there, the Chavar Kedisha and the Talmud Chacham and so on, and he passed away, and they, I guess they stuck around for a couple of minutes, and that was to make sure, and that was it. He was dead. And the Talmud Chacham reminded the Chevra Kedisha there that he was trying to find out if this Yid was ever by the Nor Melamach Tzin, that the Rebbe Melamach promised that whoever would come and daven by his grave would not die without doing tshuva. And from the discussion he had with the Skalitzian is that he never really said vidu, he never really did tshuva. So he realized that in order for him to die, he would have to do tshuva. So the last moment when he was talking about the tzion, about the Rebbe Melch, he had these thoughts of tshuva, he said vidui, and then he was released. And then Rebbe Melch kept his promise. And this was the maisa that I saw in a sefer from a short time ago, it wasn't a long time ago. And this person left the world in such a way. Now it's pretty famous, it's pretty well known, and I've spoken about it on many occasions. It's known what happened when the Germans Yimach Shemam came to Lezhensk. I don't want to repeat the whole story. This was something that was seen by the small amount of people who survived, the Jews who survived the transport from Lezhensk. When the Germans came there, the Jews ran to the Beis Olam. They ran to the Rebbe Elmach, and they were crying and davening. And the Germans came there, and they knew that this is a famous rabbi. As a matter of fact, we had my wife found a cleaning woman to come to clean the house last week. The one that we had for a few years left, and she sent a friend of hers, a Polish woman. I always like to ask them where they come from in Poland, get an idea how many people the fathers killed and grandfathers, but to see where they were from. So I asked, where are you from? Where are you? She speaks rather long. I said, where are you? She says, what? Where? I said, she said, no, what I meant. I said, Warsaw, Krakow. Oh, she says, I come. This is what she said to me just like, she goes, big rabbi. She goes like this, because she says, like, I'm a rabbi. Big rabbi. I said, Lezhensk. Lezhensk. See something there? But that's how she said, big rabbi. That's the Nor Melamach. When the Germans came, the Jews were there, and the Germans came to the cemetery, and the Jews were crying, and they started screaming and shooting, was all meiser, and they forced Jews to dig up the grave of the Nor Melamach, and the body was, and the Jews were crying, and the body was taken out, and those who were there saw the awesome sight that the Rebbe Melamach, the Germans screamed to unwrap. The talus was white, his tachrichim were white, his face, all the skin was, everything was completely intact, and the skin was red, like someone who was blushing. It was hot and fresh, and the body was completely intact. The Germans were very, the Jews ran from there, and the Germans were very frightened, they started to scream and shoot Jews, and they forced, they were afraid. The Germans told somebody to throw it back into the grave, and the Germans came. The Germans told the Jews to throw dirt over there, and the Jews were allowed to go back and to cover up the kever of the Nor Melamach. Unfortunately, as you know, after the war, there wasn't a Jew left in Luzhensk. So some of the Shevis HaPleita, some of the people from Poland came back to see what happened. They had family, they wanted to see what was doing in Luzhensk. And when they came back there, they spoke to a number of the goyim from Luzhensk, and they asked what happened to the Jews, what happened with the Germans, and so on. And the goyim in Luzhensk told these Jews that after all the Jews were taken away that day, when all the Jews were taken, so the big ganav of the city, there was a guy, there was a big ganav over there, and he had a whole band of thieves. So the big ganav suggested that they go into the Jewish cemetery, all the Jews were gone, to go to the Jewish cemetery and to dig up graves and to try to see what they could find by Jews, what they had, maybe jewelry or watches and things like that. That's what Jews are buried with, and it's ridiculous. But to go find, and he said, and they went there and they were digging, and they weren't finding. Jews, of course, are just buried in Tachrichim, and they didn't find anything. And then the Ganav said, their leader said, that I want that we should dig up the grave of the big rabbi, of the big rabbi, of the rabbinin. And the Germans that were there, the Goyim told over the story that they refused to do it. The other Ganavim, the Polish, not Germans, they were Polish, that they refused. They said, we're not touching that place. We're not going there. And there wasn't one of the Polish, the Goyim telling over to the Jews after the war, there wasn't one person from town who would go there to do it with him. He said that he started screaming at them that they're all a bunch of cowards. He said, you're so silly, because he knows, he says, that when the Germans came to the town, all the Jews ran there. What do you think they did? The Jews always write kitlach to rebbes. They write notes, right? When you go to a tzaddik. And what does a Jew always give when he comes to a rebbe with a kitl? A pigeon. He gives some money, right? So he said, the Ganav said, you're all idiots, because when they ran there, the Jews all threw into Rabbi Ahimelech's grave thousands and thousands of notes with all the money that they had, that the rebbe should pray for them. So you're not getting anything, I'm going to take all the money. So he went there by himself, and they were all standing far away and watching. He went there by himself, and he dug down there to look for something. Of course, there was nothing there except the Rebbe's body. And they said that the next day he was in an argument with these other Ganavim, whatever, and the other Ganavim cut off his head. Of the main Ganav, they cut off his head, and all of the Goyim in Luzhensk attributed his sad ending to the fact that he dared to go and to tamper with the Nar Melamelech. And since that time, none of the Goyim have done anything there except to try to keep hoodlums and thugs away from the Tzion. And the Goyim have, if anything, even though we have no question as far as whether they're anti-Semites or not, but they still are afraid of the Nar Melamelech. They still protect his grave site, just as they do in Berdichev and other places where the peasants, the Polish, the Russians, have Kabbalahs that they received in their families, generation for generation, not to mess with these people. I remember I once mentioned in Shul when I was in Berdichev some years ago, and I was there to be by the Kedushas Levi. So Rabbi Breyer, he's a square chassid of the Talmud Chacham, he's the Rav over there, he takes care in Berdichev. So he was telling us, I was there with some chaverim, with Matisyahu, a couple of chaverim, and he was telling us that he said that we saw that there was inside the ohel of the Kedushas Levi, there was a stone that was turned over. And he said that it was desecrated Chol HaMoed Pesach, that there were some bums that went in there. Also, they think the Jews bury gold, whatever it is. They went there just to make trouble. And they thought that was the Bedichev's grave. It wasn't the Bedichev's grave. It was another one of the graves, one of the stones inside there. And he said that they went in through the roof of the Ohel, and the Goyim of Bedichev found out about this, They knew who there were two boys, two teenagers that did this, and they went and they found him and they lynched both of them from a tree the next day. The guy did. Why would they do such a thing? Because they believed, he explained that they believed that all of their parnos and all of their mazel, which they shouldn't have, they should all rat, but that all of their mazel comes from the Vaditshva, which I told you that when I was leaving, where I was staying was a town called Kuristin. And I was going from Kuristin to Mezhbich and to Vaditshva. So we finished davening, whatever it was, 7 in the morning we finished davening, and there were a big bunch of people standing outside the shul. A guy. They were standing outside the shul when we finished davening, and they were holding papers. And they were waving them at me and pushing to me. I said, what are they? What's going on over here? And they were calling out, Baditshev, 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 Tzadik, Tzadik, Tzadik. They were giving me kitlach they wanted me to take to put by the Baditshev. They heard in town that I was going to Baditshev that day. And the goyim came to me with tzatlach to take. I took them. And with tzatlach, I came with a whole big of tzatlach. I didn't put them right there. I put them on the scene. But I brought it there to take to the tzina, the Baditshev. They have the goyim in those places. They heard from their grandfathers and great-grandfathers and grandmothers that there was something going on. I want to share with you now a final story. It's not final because we tell stories of the Noam HaMach over the years, and Mitzvah, in the future years we'll continue to learn and to talk about him and to learn his tires. But something that I saw in the Sefer that made a strong impression on me to end this series of Shiurim. There's a Tzaddik, Reb Gavriel from Chakov, who was one of the Talmidim of the Noam HaMach, and he went to Lezhensk with a certain guy that was a Bursakoi. He was a tanner. He was not from the Koshevah people. He was a Jew, but not. He was a very coarse, difficult person. And the whole way that he was going in the wagon, this was another guy that rented the wagon together with the Tzaddik of Gavriel. So this guy the whole way was making his life miserable. So he was like saying things and dirty, filth, and arguing with all kinds of crazy things. And Rav Gavriel said that he thought he was probably going to go out of his kelim. He couldn't take it anymore. You know, you're stuck in a wagon with this guy. It takes a couple of days. He was going to go out of his kelim from him. But the guy just didn't stop making fun of Rav Gavriel and so on. And then as they were approaching Lezhensk, so Rav Gavriel gave him a couple of strong words. Novel, whatever. And this guy said to him, when we get to Lezhensk, you're going to see who's going to get a better reception from the Rebbe, me or you? Who's going to like more, me or you? Now, the Gavriel was a known tzaddik in all of Poland, one of the great disciples. So they, sure enough, when the wagon arrived at the house of the Noam HaMach, the tzaddik ran out, and Gavriel thought that he's running to kiss him, and he goes to this smelly guy, this troublemaker, and he starts hugging him and talking to him. And it's, he came out and he said, Rebbe Gavriel, oh, Shalom Rebbe Gavriel. And he shook hands with this idiot, he's hugging. So Rebbe Gavriel came to the conclusion that this yid is only disguised as some kind of a simple person or coarse person, but really he must be one of the hidden tzaddikim of the generation. And it's not stam that the Rebbe gave him such a welcome and so on. And he decided that he was going to try somehow to find out about him. But he asked when he came, they couldn't find anything, who he was, what he was. And the guy disappeared. One time, Rav Gavriel was in the big city of Lvov, of Lemberg. And he's walking on the street, and he sees that fellow. He sees the Bursakoi, the tanner, that guy, his traveling partner. And he sees that he's walking with another guy who's in construction. And that they're having a lively conversation. And Rav Gavriel followed the two of them, hiding and following them. And they went into a place where they were staying. And he hid. And he went and he hid over there. And they sat down to eat. The two of them sat down to eat. And Rav Gavriel heard that what they said was, "By Meilech is da shtikl anis." he said that they said by Meilech that by the Rebbe Elmelech there's still a shtickle emes. There's still a little bit of truth by Meilech. And he says, but in the rest of the world there's no truth. By Meilech is a shtickle emes. That's all that's left in the whole world, by Meilech. And the second one repeated those words. And then the one that traveled with Rav Gavriel said, I know you're here, come out from where you are. And Rav Gavriel came out, he was very scared. And they both started yelling at him, get out from here. You're a Talmid Chacham, you don't belong with people like us. And he understood that these were from the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, as he suspected. After the Ptira, after the death of the Narmel Melech, Reb Gavriel went to Anapoli one day to see the Rebbe Abzusha, to see Rebbe Amel's brother. On the way, when he was going to Anapoli to Rebbe Abzusha, he met the great Tzaddik, his friend, the Sarif Reb Uri, the Rebbe Reb Uri Strelitzky. And they were very, very happy to see each other. And Reb Gavriel told over to Reb Uri the whole meister with these two hidden tzaddikim, the builder and the tanner, and what happened that day when he was hiding by Meilech is Ashtikel Emes. And he told them this story. They went into a forest, and each one stood by a tree, and they began to cry, and they screamed out, Ashtikel Emes, this is Gevein, Eftem Eilem. There was one piece left of truth in the world, and now it was taken from us. A karta shel emes, a shtikel emes was left in the world, and now it's been taken from us. So, to conclude the shiurim, the Rebbe Melech was a shtikel emes, was a shtik emes, and when he left the world, the two tzaddikim, Reb Gavriel and Reb Uri, felt the darkness. We don't feel it like that. We don't understand. Even now, so many years since he's passed away, it's already almost 220 years since the Ptira of the Narmel HaMelech. Even now, we were benefiting from those years that he was in this world. The Rebbe HaMelech said before he died, he said to the tzaddik of Avraham Mordechai from Pinchas, these were his words, Chiddush niflahu li. The Rebbe Melech said, it's a tremendous chiddush. It's new to me. It's a chiddush. Hatanoim shetzipu beruach kodshim ad seif kol hadaris. Chazal, the Tanoim who saw with their eyes till the end of all time. The kosru al kama v'kama gzeres rois v'yisurim shiukadim v'yis ha-mashiach. And in the Gemara and in the Medrash we find that the Tanaim looked into the future and they saw that there would be a great deal of suffering before Mashiach comes. How come the Tanaim didn't see that Elimelech, meaning myself, would be in the world, that there'd be an Elimelech? The Yamtigaisam Elimelech. That Elimelech would be in the world, that he would sweeten and soften the suffering before Mashiach. How come Chazal didn't say in the Gemara that there would be an Elimelech? How come they didn't see? So what does that mean for us? Who knows? What the way tzaddikim talk and the things that they say that are beyond their understanding. But everything starts with Emunah and everything ends with Emunah. And I believe for myself that if not for the Rebbe Elimelech, the suffering at the end of time would have been unbearable. And if the Narmel HaMelech said that he's going to be mamtik, that he's going to soften and sweeten the difficulties before Mashiach comes, so we still owe him that thanks, even though we're not maybe the chassidim and we're not connected to any particular Beis Medrash of his descendants or of his the descendants of his disciples. But now these last few minutes before Mashiach, so we could remember and thank the Narmel HaMelech, and if we're able to say it by his grave, then Na'amta Aleinu Ma'ay, Yosefer was called the Noam Elimelech, the pleasantness of Elimelech, the sweetness. So Naam Teleinim Ha'od, you were very sweet to have in this world. And ever since you left the world, Hagolus Miskaberis Alein. Golus is stronger than before. And if we're able to manage, it's only because of the Hamtaka, the sweetness that you left for us. And that we should be Zorichim as Hashem. That if the Germans, Yamach Shalom, and those few Jews, Lahavdal, on that day, were Zorichim to see you in your physical body, that Achas Kama Vakama, if the Nazis were Zorichim, Achas Kama Vakama, we're going to be Zorichim to see the Naam HaMelech in all of the Ni'imas, with all of the beauty, how he left the world. That we'll be Zorichim to see him, Yechaim Chiyuso. In the meantime, we trust that he's a Melitz Toiv and Melitz Yosha for all of Klai Yisrael. The fact that he didn't establish a court meant or means to us that every Jew is part of his Bismedrash. And that's also another eerie kind of a similarity to the tzaddik we're going to be turning to, the Rebbe Reb Nachman. Everybody knows Rebbe Nachman did not establish a court. Rebbe Nachman said that his fire will burn till Mashiach comes. And these two tzaddikim before Mashiach comes, the Rebbe Elimelech and the Rebbe Reb Nachman, have become rabbis over the entire world, even those who don't know and even those who refuse to acknowledge it, as we're going to learn more about when we begin to study the life and the teachings of that tzaddik, the Makor Maim Chaim, Rebbe Nachman from Breslov. So right now, we have many chaverim from our neighborhood who already are in Uman, and hopefully they got there safely to daven there. So Mitzvah, hopefully when we learn more about his life and we study that some Torahs, will be zeichet ourselves to go. I don't know if Rosh Hashanah will be zeichet, but we'll be zeichet to be there, Mitzvah. In the meantime, hopefully the tzaddikim will be mitzvah for us and for all of Klai Yisrael, and we should be zeichet Mitzvah for the Gula Hashem. Amen.